In this video, the mechanics of hitting will be broken down into 6 specific parts. Then those specific parts will be put together into a whole so that each individual hitter or hitting coach can apply them to their own philosophy. The first thing I want to put in front of every hitter is a responsibility. It's not even a goal, it's more important than a goal. Something that must be done every time if a hitter is going to accomplish his goals as a hitter. That responsibility is to see the ball. We must see the ball early, we must see it big, and we must see it for as long as we possibly can. If we can't do this, if we can't meet our responsibility, then all other things that follow in this video cannot be accomplished. As any good hitter or any good hitting coach will tell you, confidence is the key psychological factor in hitting. We must believe in ourselves. We must believe that we can hit. One of the things that happens with young hitters, they get over analytical. They begin to think too much about what they're doing, rather than just seeing the ball and letting it happen. This is one of the major points in believing in yourself. Confidence is the key psychological factor. The second thing is the goal of a short, smooth, consistent swing that produces hard ground balls and line drives. Before we talk about mechanics, first thing I want to mention is getting into the batter's box and where to stand in the batter's box. There are advantages and disadvantages to every foot placement, to standing in front of the plate, standing in back of the plate, standing away from the plate, or standing up on the plate. You want to put in the back foot first, then the front foot. We'd like to have the front foot no farther forward than the front of the plate. If we get too far forward, then we're not giving ourselves enough time to see the baseball. If we get too far back, then the outside of the plate seems like it's way too far away from us and our contact points will not be good. They'll be too far away, and that outside pitch, especially the curveball from the same side pitcher, is going to look like it's way too far away to hit, even though it's a strike. We don't want to stand too far back because this makes the outside of the plate too hard to get to, and we don't want to stand too far up on the plate because this makes the inside pitch too hard to get to. So I advocate something right in the middle. Not too far back, not too close, not too far up, and not too far back. Somewhere between the front of the plate and the break of the plate is where I'll place my front foot. This allows me to get to the inside pitch here and still allows me to get the outside pitch back here like I want to. At Arizona, our whole hitting philosophy, mentally and physically, is based upon the concept of a still head. The concept of a still head leads to 4 very important points. The first, dynamic balance from start to finish. The second, a smooth, consistent stroke from start to finish. The third, a vertical axis of rotation. And the fourth is bat lag. Each one of these points will be mentioned as we go on through the tape and explain further. The 6 basic parts of hitting that we're going to talk about are the stance, the inward turn or rock, the stride, the hip turn, the movement of the hands, and the follow through. The stance is the first of our 6 specific parts. How we stand in the box, the way we set ourselves up to face the pitcher, is extremely important. One point I want to make at the very beginning is we do not necessarily want to use professional hitters, major league hitters, as those we emulate. In many cases, we are not at the point in our careers where we can emulate them or do what they do. Remember that those major league hitters have taken literally millions of swings in their career. And the second thing that is not so recognizable is how strong they are. Their strength, having swung at those many pitches, is completely different from where we are in our careers. Even players here at Arizona, I try to get them to do things their own way rather than to emulate people that they see on TV. The first thing is the stance. We want to make sure that our feet are square. Very often these days we see either a stance that is too closed, that means the front foot is closer to the plate, or a stance that is too open, that means the front foot is farther away from the plate than the back foot. What I advocate is the feet are square, even with the line of the plate. I also like to have the feet even. I don't like them too much pigeon-toed or too open, although this slightly open is better than this. And as we go along, we'll talk about the advantages and disadvantages of each. Second, we like a little flexion in the ankle and in the knees. I like the knees squeezed together a little bit and a slight bend in the waist. What happens many times is that the hitter will get locked up if he bends down too much in the knees and the waist. The muscles in his legs will begin to tighten up, and there's no way that he can have a smooth, fluid swing. So I advocate only a slight break in the knees and a slight bend at the waist. We like nice, level shoulders. Too often I'll see young hitters with their shoulders at an angle, or they're trying to keep their front shoulder down so much that their stance will be like this. Well, if your front shoulder is down to begin with, the first thing your body's going to want you to do is to level it up. And once it starts up, it's just going to keep going up so that you're going to have an upward slant to your swing. So we want square shoulders. We want a good two-eyed look at the pitcher. We don't want to be looking around our nose, or we don't want to have our head tilted too much so that we don't get a good look at the ball out of the hand. Remembering our number one responsibility is to see the ball early, to see it big, and to see it as long as we can. The only way we can do that is to get a good two-eyed look at the ball. The next thing is the grip. We want to hold the bat as far out in the fingers as is comfortable. I don't advocate holding it way out in the fingers because there's no way that our hands are strong enough to propel the barrel through the ball. On the other hand, we don't want it way back in our thumb because this restricts the freedom of movement of our wrist, somewhere in the middle. The other thing is we don't want to squeeze the bat too tight, nice, loose, and relaxed. The placement of the hands are very important. I advocate having the hands even with the back shoulder or, at the most, the knob as far back as the back foot. The elbows are down. I can't tell you how many times I've been to Little League games and hear people yelling at their kids or the coaches yelling at the players to get their back elbow up. This is one of the worst things that a young hitter can do, is hit with his back elbow up, or even with both elbows up. The flight of the barrel dictates that our elbows stay down. This is one of the things about emulating major league hitters. We see all kinds of stances in the big leagues. This is because these guys are extremely strong, and it takes an extremely strong individual to keep the barrel above the hands as it comes through the zone if our back elbow is up. So I advocate, young hitters especially, all the way up through our hitters, that we keep both elbows down. A key coaching point is that the front elbow will be even with the sternum here, and the back elbow will be hanging down even with the back hip. This is a good, solid stance for a young hitter. There are no extremes here. We don't have the bat straight up. We don't have it flat. It's not sticking back. It's not wrapped around our head. Our hands aren't too low or too high. They're right in a good hitting position. This way, the adjustments that we need to make in the next part of our swing are minimal. The next part is what's called the inward turn. I like to call it a rocking motion because I'm not real enamored with the idea of turning the body away from the flight of the ball. Now this is where the idea of timing comes in. The whole concept of pitching is to destroy a hitter's timing. A major concept of hitting is to have good rhythm and timing from the time we start till the time we finish. So this part of the swing has to be in rhythm with the pitcher. Now what I advocate is that we start our inward turn or our rock when the pitcher comes up and breaks his hands to start to pitch. I'm in my stance. Remember, I'm not casting concrete or a bronze statue up here. I'm nice and loose and relaxed. I might have a little wiggle to my hip. My knees are flexed and squeezed. I'm nice and relaxed. No tension. When the pitcher breaks his hands to come to the plate, I will rock back a little by cocking my front knee back towards my back knee. You'll notice that my front foot stays on the ground. Our front heel is off the ground. What happens too often is we see hitters lift their whole foot off the ground. This will shift our weight too far back, and it's a very, very difficult movement to control. If we can just cock our knee and keep our front foot on the ground, this will allow us to move easily and smoothly into the next part of the swing. A couple concepts on the inward turn I want to make clear. First, since the inward turn or rocking motion is in concert with the pitcher, total rhythm with the pitcher, we must realize that the break of the hands and our inward turn is only a goal. If the pitcher throws extremely hard, then obviously the break of our knee and our rock will occur earlier. If the pitcher doesn't throw as hard, consistently throws curveballs and changeups, the break of the knee and our rock will occur later. Many times hitters will think about moving up in the box or back in the box depending upon who's pitching. I don't advocate this. I advocate staying right in the exact same spot in the box and just adjusting our rhythm to the rhythm of the pitcher. The second thing we see in an inward turn or a rock many times is hitters will do all kinds of things with their hands and arms. They'll use their arms trying to develop rhythm. This is a false concept. The one thing I would like to see is a slight cock of the wrist as we're rocking back. But many times, hitters will take this to an extreme by lifting the back elbow and wrapping the bat around their head, straightening the front arm, or getting their weight too far back over their back foot. This is going to make it very difficult for them to stride and get a good consistent hip turn. Once we get to this point, we've taken our rock and we're in a position to move forward in our stride. The key concepts of the stride are we want it short, we want it quick, and we want it closed. This is closed. This is open. We want to keep our foot closed when we stride. The idea here is that a short stride is going to get our foot down quicker so that the ball from the pitcher doesn't travel as far as if our foot's in the air a long time. The ball's traveling a good distance. We want to get the foot down quick for the same reason. We also want to keep the foot closed. This is because many times if we start out with our front foot, then our knee, hip, and shoulder follow, and we can't stay with our number one philosophy of keeping our head still. Once our front side starts to go, our head starts to go with it. And no longer can we keep a still head. So that when we finish our stride, we will be in this position right here. With the front heel down, the whole foot square, and our hands back ready to hit. You can tell good hitters because many times whether they swing or whether they take the pitch, they are in exactly the same position. Your poor hitter, when they swing, they'll just go right on through their swing. When they take, they'll be way out in front, their hands will have moved forward, and they will be in no position to hit the ball. Your good hitters, on the other hand, as I mentioned, when their foot comes down, their hands and their weight are back. Their hands haven't crept forward. Their weight hadn't started to shift forward. They're just in a real good position to hit. One of the things we see in young hitters often is when they rock back and stride, their heel will be way too far off the ground. And they'll be striding right on their big toe. We don't like to stride on our big toe. We like to stride on the inside ball of our front foot, right here. If we stride on our toe, our heel is too high, and it takes too long to get the heel down before we start. This is one of the major points in hitting, is that the front heel must be down before the back heel comes up. And too often, if we do it this way, we're already starting to swing, and we lose the very first thing we talked about in our four key points, was dynamic balance. Once our front foot is down and set, that means the ball of the foot and the heel, our stride is completed and we go into what's called the ballistic part of the swing. This is the force producing phase, where we really develop bat speed. One of the misconcepts of hitting is that we develop bat speed in the feet, or that the stride gives us some bat speed. This is not true. The inward turn and the stride are for rhythm. We establish a base when our foot comes down to hit from. That's the reason why we rock and we stride, is to be in good rhythm with the ball. The feet do not have any bat speed in them. Once our feet are set, now we develop bat speed. The next part is what we call the hip turn, torso turn, which is the start of the ballistic part of the swing. Once our front foot is down, the first move a good hitter will make is his back knee will move towards his front knee. Oftentimes we'll see a good hitter take a pitch where he's already started, where his knee will have started, but no other part has moved. So the first move, once our heel is down, is that the back knee comes towards the front knee, and we begin our turn with our hip so that the ball of our foot is on the ground and our back heel is up. We call this squashing the bug. Now, one thing we don't want to do is turn flat-footed on the flat part of the ball of our foot, or have our heel too close to the ground. What we want as a hitter is to have our turn be on the inside ball of the back foot with the hand staying back. The front foot stays completely closed. Often in this part of the swing, once we start forward, the front side will start to creep out away from the back side. We're going to lose a tremendous amount of bat speed if we allow this to happen. We want to keep that front foot as close as we possibly can as we move our back knee forward and we start to turn. Once we get to this position, we'll notice that the front side is fairly firm and the hands are still back. Notice the position of the back elbow and the position of the barrel. The next part of the swing is going to be the hands moving to the ball and bat leg. And I'm going to introduce this device. It's going to be on the ground in the next section, and I want to make sure that I've explained what it is. This is what I call a stride box. It's my own device that I've come up with because it's portable. It's just two 4x4s bolted together at a 90-degree angle. And what it does is it keeps our front foot from turning open too much. It keeps our stride short, and it also will help us with the reminder of keeping a firm front side in our swing. They're very easy to make, and we use them all the time in the cages, at home plate, and they're really a very, very important device in our hitting program. We've talked about the stance, the inward turn or rock, the stride, and the initial movement of the knee and the hip. The next part of the swing is the hands and the barrel coming through the ball. You can see that the stride box is down. The ideal time to use a stride box is on tees. And here we have a tee with two different contact points. You'll notice that the inside contact point is just in front of my front foot. The outside contact point is about even with the inside of my front leg. These are what we call fastball contact points. If we're hitting a breaking ball, the breaking ball contact points will be deeper, which we'll talk about in a little while. With the front foot down, my back knee forward and my hips turned, my hands are still back, my back elbow is still down behind my back hip. Too often, once we get the hip turned, the hands will come forward with the hip. We don't want this. We want the hands to stay back as we turn, so that we'll feel a great deal of tension in our shoulder, in our back, and in our front leg and buttock. If we get out here like this, all that tension is released, and what I call that is bat speed being released out the front side. So what we want is a closed front foot, a good knee and hip turn, and our hands back. Now, the next part of the swing is extremely important as far as being able to get the barrel on the ball. You'll remember the four points we talked about. The first one was dynamic balance. That means from start to finish, we have good balance in our swing. If we're to this point with good balance, we're in pretty good shape. If we move forward and our balance is off, or if we're sitting back too far, we're going to be in a little bit of trouble on this pitch. The second thing was a consistent rhythm from start to finish. If we started from our stance and got a nice rock and a nice stride and we're to here and everything's been smooth, we're in real good shape to hit this ball. We've had bat speed building up from our feet, through our legs, into our hips, and into our torso, and now the bat speed is being ready to be released through our hands. The third thing was a vertical axis of rotation. That means that our axis of rotation wants to be straight up and down, so that as we're rotating here, we don't want to be at an angle here or at an angle here. If we're doing it from the side, we don't want to be at an angle like this or too far back. From all different views, our axis of rotation is vertical. The fourth thing that I mentioned earlier was bat lag. And this is where bat lag comes into play. As our hands drop down into what we call the slot, the back elbow stays down, the barrel stays way behind the hands. This is what is defined as bat lag. In other words, the barrel of the bat is lagging way behind the hands. Many good hitters, you'll see them as they approach the ball with the barrel, you wonder, how in the world are they ever going to get the barrel to the ball from here? But because of all the bat speed that's built up through this correct swing, the barrel will get there as bat speed is released. The flight of the hands is very important. Whether the ball's inside, outside, high or low, the hands start in the same direction every time. The hands will start down like this, the knob will be down, and the hands will be inside the plate. Rarely do you see a good hitter's hands go out over home plate. They're always inside home plate. So that the concept of staying inside the ball has become a real big concept in hitting over the last 5 or 10 years. The hands stay inside the ball, and the barrel of the bat stays inside the ball. If the barrel doesn't stay inside the ball, then we don't have good bat lag. Many young hitters will get to this point and throw their barrel out this way. Immediately, bat speed has gone away from their front side. Immediately, their bat lag is destroyed, so that when they want to be at this point and the barrel catching up with the hands, the barrel is already even with the hands, and all they can do is pull through with their front side and try to get bat speed that way. There isn't very much bat speed in the front side. All great hitters develop their bat speed from the backside. And this is the position you'll see them in as they're coming to the ball. The hands stay inside the ball, the barrel stays inside, and the barrel catches up at contact, so that contact will look something like this. On a pitch inside, and like this on a pitch outside. The hands are still way inside home plate, the barrel is way inside the ball. The only ball that will actually hit the outside of the ball will be the ball that's way inside. Possibly a curveball that's hanging up here, or a fastball with not much on it that's in on the inside part of the plate. Every other ball will hit the inside part of the ball or the back of the ball. We won't try to get on the outside of it. This is the whole concept of keeping the hands and the barrel inside the ball. You'll notice how far in the back elbow is and how far in the front elbow is. Too many hitters will get this kind of action. See what the barrel does. Or this kind of action, where the barrel's going here and we have no concept of where the ball is. The outside pitch is going to be a mystery to us. But if we're here and the hands start in the same direction every time, the slight adjustment to inside and outside, to low or high, are going to be very, very easy to make. One of the key concepts in the flight of the barrel to the ball, the idea that the barrel stays above the hand and the barrel stays inside the ball. Once the barrel gets to the ball, you'll notice that the barrel is on the same plane as the ball. We call this planing the pitch. We don't want to come too far down on top like we're chopping wood, and definitely we don't want to come down from under the ball and hit top spinners or fly ball. We want to get here so that we're getting the good backspin line drives and hard ground balls. We're on the same plane as the ball. As we hit through the ball, our arms will extend through the ball and we'll continue as long as we can on the plane of the ball, and our wrists will not turn until way up here. Too many times you see young hitters turning their wrists and right in the middle of their swing, and you can see what happens to the barrel. Kind of goes up over the ball. We want to get through. This is what a coach means by having a good, strong top hand. We want to get through the ball like that and turn the wrist way up here. That's a good follow through. Often asked about releasing with the top hand. It's a very popular thing these days to see hitters releasing with the top hand. This depends upon the individual. Some hitters can get here and stay through the ball a long time with both hands on the bat. Even on the outside pitch, they can get to the ball and stay with it a long time. You'll notice that on the outside pitch, the shoulders stay square to the ball longer than on the inside pitch. If my shoulders stay square to the ball, I'm going to naturally release the top hand as I come into my follow-through. But notice, please, that the release is way past contact. It's not in the contact zone at all. Too often when we teach hitters to release with the top hand, they'll release right before contact and the barrel will flop. They're just not strong enough to keep the barrel up above the ball and on the same plane with one arm. So that's why we advocate, if you're going to release with the top hand, make it long after contact. Hey, this is Robbie Moen, the former hitter of ours, outstanding hitter, one of the best hitters we've ever had. The great swing, nice and smooth, relaxed, great bat speed. He swing at the inside pitch. Notice the points we talked about. Number one is the still head. Keeps his head still the whole swing. Second thing is dynamic balance. Got good balance from start to finish. We have a vertical axis of rotation, the good rhythm all the way through, showing great bat lag. Now he's going to hit a couple outside ones. You notice the same concept, hitting the ball the opposite way. Hands and barrel inside, hitting that ball hard to right field. Those are beauties. Really nice swing. One of our initial ideas was that we want to have a short, quick stroke. The idea behind a short stroke is that we can delay the most crucial moment in baseball, which is a swing, no swing decision, till the last possible instant. Now, if we have a long stroke where the barrel goes out away from us or drops down or goes somewhere other than directly with the flight of the ball, then we're going to have to start our swing much earlier than if we have a short compact stroke. On the other hand, when I show the short stride, this is going to be consistent with a short quick stroke. If our stride is long, then the flight of the ball is going to be a lot closer to home plate than if my foot gets down quick and I have a short quick stroke. This is important when we're talking about the next phase of our hitting, which is hitting the curveball. Many hitters believe that the curveball is the easiest pitch to hit. I always believe that. The reason being is because it's slower and you have more time to adjust. The fastball, you've got to be dead on rhythm with it to hit it solid. The curveball, we have a little bit of time to make an adjustment. The key here is recognizing the pitch. If we've recognized our pitch, and by recognizing we have to fulfill our responsibility of seeing the ball early, seeing it big, and seeing it as long as we can, if we've accomplished that responsibility, then we will know it's a curveball and be able to adjust. If we're sitting dead fastball and he doesn't throw a fastball, a lot of times we'll start our swing and go on through as the ball is breaking slower and away from us. Reminds me of the story of the bonus baby that went to minor league ball. Wrote his mom a letter after about 2 weeks, said, "Mom, I'll be home soon. They're starting to throw me the curveball." Many hitters are intimidated by the curveball, where in reality, it's the easiest pitch to hit. Remember the idea of we're trying to keep our hands inside the ball. We're trying to hit the inside part of the ball, staying inside the pitch. Well, with a curveball, if it's the same side guy, meaning a right-hand pitcher to a right-hand hitter, the inside of the ball is facing us the whole time and we can see the inside of the ball and we can stay with the inside of the ball. Where a lot of times a fastball is going to be running in on us and it's going to be much harder to hit the inside of the ball. Therefore, looking at these contact points, these are fastball contact points. My inside pitch will be just in front of my front foot. My outside pitch will be about even with the inside of my front leg. On the other hand, the curveball contact points are deeper in the zone. If I stay with the ball, I have that slight hesitation when my foot comes down because I've recognized the curveball and I'm making an adjustment. The pitch is slower, I've got to wait, so I let the ball get deeper and I'm going to stay inside this pitch. If I try to hit the curveball out front, There's no way I'm going to be able to hit that ball solid, especially the pitch that's middle away. And think about this concept right here. Here's a breaking ball, a curveball. Same side breaking ball, right-hander. If I try to hit that ball too far out in front of the plate, what am I going to do? Most likely I'm going to do exactly what the pitcher wants me to do and hit about a three-hop ground ball to shortstop. We call this rolling it over. If I wait and stay with the ball and get it real deep in the zone, then I can stay with the inside of the pitch and still drive that pitch to right field. This is the whole concept behind the breaking ball. I think it's very important that young hitters understand this, that the curveball has got to be hit deeper in the zone than the fastball. The fastball is hit out front, the curveball is hit deeper. All right, a final note on the curveball. The breaking ball is one of the pitches that you absolutely have to think opposite field when you first recognize it. Hopefully you'll recognize it immediately at release or soon after release. Soon as you recognize that that pitch is a breaking ball, either it doesn't matter whether it's the same side pitcher or opposite side, right-hander or left-hander, we must think opposite field. The reason we do this is because if we've done our mechanics correctly to this point, our foot is down, our whole front side is closed, and our hands are back. We start forward with our hands back. Now, if we start to pull away from the ball and it's a breaking ball, either right-hander or left-hander, we're not going to be able to wait long enough to hit the ball deep in the zone. But if we think opposite field immediately, then our whole front side stays closed, so we're thinking this side of the field, so that now we can stay inside the ball and hit it to the opposite field. Okay, the question comes, what happens if the ball hangs, if the pitcher hangs a curveball to you? Well, if my front side is closed and I'm thinking opposite field and the ball doesn't break, I'll just turn like this, take it off the front side, hit by pitch. If the ball does break into my zone, I'm closed, and I can still pull the ball by coming and getting the ball right at contact here and pulling the ball into left center or left field. Whereas if I've started open and the ball breaks, I'm real vulnerable to being hit in soft parts of my body. Or if it breaks for a strike, I'm absolutely frozen and I've taken a strike. There's no way I can develop any bat speed. One of the things that I see in young hitters is that they have a different swing for the fastball and a different swing for the curveball. They should be exactly the same. If the pitcher has done his job and destroyed our rhythm and our timing, then you will have a different swing. But if you've done your job as a hitter, then your rhythm and timing will be the same, so that your swing on the fastball and on the curveball will be the same. The bat speed will be the same, the mechanics will be the same, the ball will be hit, backspin line drives the same. The last point on the curveball is, too often you see the young hitter trying, because the ball is breaking down and away, he tries to get his barrel down under the ball. This changes the swing. I just mentioned that the swing has got to be the same for the fastball or the curveball, planing the ball off. If we have a short, quick swing, we're here on the breaking ball, thinking opposite field, we get down on top of the curveball, we get the good, tight backspin on it, and the ball will carry for us. If we get down under it like this, even our best shots are going to hang out in the outfield and go absolutely nowhere. We want to keep that good, consistent swing, fastball or curveball.